Welcome to another edition of the Home Improvement Show. I am Joanne Brackus, and sitting right in front of me, as always, is Walter Assey, president of Renovco, here to take your questions, your comments, your concerns, your queries, you name it. He's here to answer all things involved in home improvement, your projects. 514-790-0800. That's the best way to reach us. You can call Walter. Again, that's the best way. You can text. But Walter and I have been noticing more and more that the texts are getting longer and longer. Better to call. Hi, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing great. Don't forget the Ask Walter button if you're calling from British Columbia or Ontario.
Yes. Let's remind people of the website. So there's just the Renovco website.
Yeah. It's renovco.com and the Ask Walter button for any questions that is out of...
If you're listening to us outside of the Montreal market or outside of the Quebec market and you're saying, shoot, I wish someone, you know, I could have gotten that question in. Ask Walter. Again, that is where you go, and we'll answer it as soon as possible.
And I've got a lot of emails on that. So
that's... He's so popular. He is very popular. Walter's a very popular man. But we have some calls coming in. But Walter, he came in here and he said, we have to talk Trump, the tariffs, and the potential on the cost of... How is this going to affect building, do you think?
I mean, you speak to certain suppliers. They tell you it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. Regardless, I think... In general, we've all been complacent as Canadian businesses and consumers maybe for a long, long time. We've always been self-reliant and catering most of our business to one customer.
Yeah.
And that in business does not make sense.
No. Right? All your eggs in the one basket?
All your eggs in one basket. So it is a wake-up call for all of us as businesses, as consumers. And this is what they want. I mean, you can't really blame and be angry at Trump. He wants the best for his people, right? We should do the same, and we should think Canada first. We should buy Canadian first.
Except, Walter, the tariffs will punish his own people, right? Because if he's going to impose that tariff, the whoever's, like, let's say he's bringing in avocados, all of a sudden there's a 25% increase. Who do you think will end up paying that 25%? That's going to be passed on to the consumer.
You're absolutely right. So in Trump's way of thinking, he doesn't need our oil. He said he doesn't need our hydro. He doesn't need our cars. But we have to answer that question for him before he thinks about imposing tariffs. Like, we have to start acting now. For example, from my perspective, I'm the small guy in this. I mean, it's a small drop in this bucket.
Oh, wow.
I stopped buying American and I'm buying Canadian. Now, my purchasers have, you know, we are looking at more Canadian suppliers. Now, we do. Let's be very frank and honest, but that's what we have to plan ahead for. We do have an issue with finished products in our economy. That's one weakness that the Canadian economy has.
Meaning what? Explain that.
Meaning anything that is manufactured to a finished good.
Yeah.
This is where we have weaknesses. And, you know, Trump is a smart man. He's a smart businessman. He identified the weaknesses and he figured, okay, I can get more by, you know, imposing tariffs, and I'm going to negotiate a better NAFTA and this and that. So what's going to happen now, if every business and every consumer start looking for Canadian first, buying Canadian first, there are great Canadian products, amazing, good quality, good prices.
And you've made that switch already.
We've made that switch already. I mean, we've made it as soon as we start hearing what's going to happen. Because, I mean... It's going to be, from a business standpoint, yes, we are proud, we're patriotic, we love the fact we live in the best country in the planet, we're the best people, and I mean, the thing that we have, we're the most proud of is that we're Canadian. Yeah. Our reputation is everything.
We're not the 51st state.
That's correct. So, you know, if you have an American supplier and there's 25% tariffs, it's a lose-lose for you as a business. So start acting now, don't wait. But from the same token, as a consumer... Look for Canadian products first. Scan it.
It's interesting. Research it. You can scan it. There's different apps, by the way, where you can scan the origins of certain products. 514-790-0800. We've got some calls coming in. Oh, look at that. There is a Joanne on the line. Another Joanne. Hi, Joanne. Can you hear us?
Yes. Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Take it away, Joanne.
Good. Okay. A few days ago, Walter, we noticed that there was a drip from our ceiling light in... the washroom. So what we did is we opened the trap of the attic, and we noticed that there was, like, on half of the house, there was, like, sort of it was white, so it looked like frost starting on the on the wood. And last May, we had insulation added to our attic, and they put those styrofoam things by the vents.
Styrovents, yeah.
Yes, styrovents, thank you. And so we're wondering, could that be an accumulation because there's not enough circulation? Because now there's no more drip. It dripped for maybe 2 days, but just in the afternoon when it got warmer. So I'm just wondering, is it because there's not enough ventilation in the attic?
Where did you see the icicles or the white frost? Is it on the plywood in the attic?
Yes, on the roof, on the plywood. Yes, on the roof, yes.
Okay.
It's not icicles. It was just like a sheet of white, just very thin.
Okay, so you are having condensation in the attic.
Yes.
What that means is maybe when they put the insulation, they did not spread it evenly. Or you have a lack of ventilation somewhere. So the heat from downstairs is reaching the cold air in the attic, and then when the two mix, that's when you have condensation, quote unquote, it rains in your attic. So you check the insulation, you need to check the ventilation. So the fact that they installed the drip edge or styrovents is great. We just want to make sure that none of the soffits were blocked in the process. And we want to make sure that we have enough max vents on your roof. Because if you don't have a max vent or enough max vent, then you're not getting enough air circulation either. Okay, so
because
the idea is very simple.
Had that before. It's just like they added the insulation, and now we have that. But the drip has stopped. I don't have any drip from the light in the ceiling anymore.
Okay, but I mean, again, we have that problem, and usually that problem comes from condensation. What you had before, maybe now the way they spread it, they have move the insulation around. You have an area which is more blocked than another area. It's hard to tell from just speaking to you like that. What you could do is you could if anybody is agile enough can peek their head through the attic. You want to do a 360 around to see if there's any soffits that are blocked. So you want to see daylight. Want to feel the cold air in the attic coming in.
I didn't, because we did open it up. We did open up the trap door, and it wasn't cold up there.
Well, that's not a good sign.
Oh, okay.
That's not a good sign. That's actually not a good sign. What you want, the attic should supposed to be as close to the outside temperature as possible.
Oh.
So okay. If you're not feeling that, that means there's no air circulation, and that's probably where your problem is. So that's what you need to kind of look into.
Okay.
The other thing, if it's just happening in the bathroom, and you have a fan in the bathroom, sometimes if the fan have no insulated pipe, it will cause condensation. But it usually will leak from the fan, not from a spotlight next to it. So in your case, you said it's a spotlight. So
yes.
I very firmly believe that is an issue of, in your case, ventilation.
Okay, one last question, Walter. Now, the fact that there is this sort of, not ice buildup, but that film of ice, if you want, could that cause mildew?
Yes. So condensation in general, when it is on a cellulose-based product or anything that is porous, that will cause mold, not mildew. Mm-hmm. Mildew is a bad word to use for the inside, because mildew usually we find it more outside.
Okay.
It's mold. That's where you worry about. And that's with time you see that you go to certain attics that have condensation issues, especially the chronic ones. I'm not talking the one that had a couple of incidents here and there, but the one that repeats itself every year, you see that the plywood start to have black stains on it, and that's usually mold.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your help.
Thank you, Joanne.
Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
I hope that helps you out. All right. We have so much more Home Improvement Show coming up. 514-790-0800. Your best way to speak to Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800, your best bet to speak to Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Again, lots of text messages coming in. Very lengthy explanations about what's happening inside your homes. The best way, the absolutely best way to get a good answer is to call in and to chat to Walter. If you are in another market outside Quebec, you can always head on over to the Renofco homepage. And there's an Ask Walter button there where you can ask him questions and we will get back to you as soon as possible. Maureen has been waiting patiently on the line. And Maureen has an issue with heating. The basement in the heating in her basement actually is not working. Maureen, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Good morning, Walter and Joanna. How are you?
Good, good. Take it away, Maureen.
4 years ago, the heating system in the basement stopped working. I have electric heating, no furnace, just thermostats and heating vents. Throughout the house, everything else is fine. In the basement, there's two thermostats down there, and each control two heating vents. One was barely working, and the other one was really not working at all. I called in the electrician. He came in. He said I needed new thermostats. He changed those. He left. And the one set at the furthest end of the house, one of that thermostat, I guess, was what was causing it to work, and so it worked reasonably well. House controlled by the other thermostat, that one never worked at all. When he left here, he told me they were both working, and he was on his way. There was a great deal of other things going on at the time, and the thermostats were kind of the least of my worries, and I let it all go. I called him back a couple of days later. I told him that the thermostats, that the heating wasn't working there, and he said it was working when I left, so he never came back. And I kept calling him, and he never came back. So then this year I decided, after the cold spell that we had a while back, that I needed to get these thermostats fixed. I called him back again. He came in. He did a little something. He ended up with a little few pieces of wiring or something that he had cut off the original wiring to fix the thermostat. And he said, it's working now. I put it on 21 and we're good. The next day I went down to the basement. No heat at all on there. No heat since. I've called him back again. It's been 2 weeks. He's never come back. Now is this rocket science? Like, what could possibly be wrong?
And what are her options?
And the heating vent.
So when you say heating vent, do you mean baseboard?
Baseboard.
Yeah. Okay. So the baseboard, and you replace the thermostat, and the baseboard is still not working.
That's right.
And how old is the baseboard?
They're about 35 years old.
35. Okay. So two things might be an issue. Either that the baseboard and the thermostat somehow are not being compatible. They're not compatible for some reason. So if the thermostat is not the issue, then the baseboard would be the issue. In any which case, if they're 35 years old, it's probably time to retire them. And the new ones are a lot more efficient. Okay?
Okay.
They're not expensive to replace either. I'm sure.
Well, they become expensive enough when you get a bill from the electrician who hasn't done anything and I'm expected to pay it. So, like, this is
correct.
Going
but
to
I mean,
be my third time.
Technically, his work should still be under warranty. So, if he's not, respecting his warranty on this, there are places where you could call. They could call the Electricians Association, make a complaint. You could call the RBQ, make a complaint, put pressure on him. Or tell him that you're going to do that so he feels the pressure to come back.
Okay.
But do it in writing and document it. See, this is, with dates and everything and copies.
Oh, I did document it. The Sunday, like that, it was done 2 weeks ago on the Friday and the Sunday morning. I did document it to him.
And you sent it to him by email?
I've never heard from him again.
You sent it to him by email?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, again, what I would do is I would send another email. I would re-explain and rehash everything. And then I'm going to give you another chance before I call the RBQ, before I call the Association of Electricians and make a complaint about this. Twice you came to my house. You haven't fixed the problem. If I have any frozen pipes, I'm going to be holding you responsible and so on and so forth. And then from there, you know, if he doesn't come, you send him another letter saying if you don't fix it in so and so, that many amount of days, like 10 days or what have you, I'm going to be calling in another electrician and I'm going to be sending you the bill. Okay?
Okay.
If that doesn't work, then you do that. You actually get it repaired, get it fixed. You send him the bill, and preferably that electrician can make you a semi-report of expertise. So he will make you a letter explaining what was done wrong by the previous electrician.
Important, yeah.
Because that's going to be the document that you're going to plead to the RBQ or to the electrician association to put pressure on him to solve this issue.
Okay.
Okay, Maureen, does that help you out?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your call. 514-790-0800. We are taking your calls. Walter Assey, again, president of Renovco, is here. Tony has been standing by. Tony has a problem with insulation in the basement. Tony, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you for taking the call.
Take it away.
Good morning. Simple question, but not so simple for me. But I have lived in a 1900s building in the plateau. And the foundation is mortar and stone, believe it or not, for quite a big building. And in the basement, I have issue with cold walls and even airflow for those walls facing outdoors, specifically where the windows are. I've replaced the windows, so the window is not the issue. But from what I can gather, I have an engineering background, but not building. When I touch drywall around the window, it's very, very cold. I touched the wall. It's very, very cold. And I've had a few people give opinions. And, you know, I get a mixed bag on what type of insulation is ideal if I was to get this all repaired. So I'm curious if you can give an opinion or your expertise on what the most efficient repair would be. What's inside, because I've cut a hole, and what I've seen inside is a gray, hard, it looks like it's a spray-on insulation from the 70s when they renovated. And I'm not sure what the ideal solution is. If you can share any information, that would be greatly appreciated.
It is a bit tricky with stone foundations. The main issue that you're going to face, I mean, the big issue is that it is stone and mortar, as you said. So it will be very drafty, for lack of better words.
Correct.
Now, the first thing you want to do before you do any insulation is ensure that the mortar is in good shape.
We've done that. We've had we actually had a $350,000 repair done on the mortar on the building. So okay. I believe that's, and they checked from the inside with a camera. Yeah. So as far as I know, that's not the issue today.
Okay. The second thing that you want to look at is the insulation that you said that is from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Sprayed on from the 70s.
Yeah.
That you, if you're going to disturb this in the process, just make sure that there's no asbestos in it.
Okay.
Because that's common in the 70s to use insulation with asbestos components.
Good feedback, thank you.
Yeah, that's another important element. You can have it tested. They take small sample in a Ziploc, and within a couple of days, you'll have the result. So that would be one. And you have a drywall. Is this a finished area or?
Yes. It's a two bedrooms finished. There's drywall, there's insulation, and then they're about, from what I can gather, maybe about a foot before you hit the drywall, the outdoor foundation.
Tony, I want you to hold that thought. It's Joanne. We're going to take a teeny tiny break and we'll continue with your insulation issues. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show. Reminder, 514-790-0800. You can call in and you can ask Walter your very own questions about all of your home improvement needs. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Our number to reach Walter Assey, president of Renovco, is 514-790-0800. You can always text us. It's always best to call, though, because you have access to the man himself. Tony has been patiently waiting on the line. And Tony had started discussing his issue. And it's, I mean, we were at, how much did Tony say? $350,000 you've already put in this project, Tony?
Yes, the building in general.
Yeah.
That's what we've had to redo the foundation.
All right. So we will pick up where we left off.
Okay. So you don't have, I mean, the good news and the bad news is that you don't have many options.
Okay.
That's usually bad news, but okay.
Yeah. You can't put any rigid foam on a stone and mortar foundation. That won't work. So let's start with that by eliminating that idea. The reason being is a rigid foam can only work if it's tongue and grooved and on a smooth surface. If not, it's not going to give you the insulation factor, the R value that you need.
Okay? Understood.
So moving on to fiberglass, you cannot put any fiberglass on a stone foundation that is close to it because of the condensation factor, especially stone foundations tend to sweat a lot more than regular foundations because of the mortar, right?
Correct.
So that is not advisable unless if you want to take that insulating the 2x4s, preferably even 2x6s in this case, to get more R value, but you are far away from the stone foundation. And then you put a vapor barrier and put your drywall. The ultimate is to go with a closed cell spray foam on the stone itself. So
okay.
you spray foam it, closed cell, urethane, and that will be really what would be recommended in this case.
Okay, and there's no issue with the issue you just described with foam or with... condensation, that spray actually stays onto the foundation itself. And
it does, and it's waterproof. So that's the idea why we say closed cell, and that's why you want an insulation. Because, for example, fiberglass, it gets wet, it gets moist, it's losing its R value.
Correct.
Not so with closed cell urethane. You're not going to have that issue. It's completely waterproof.
Okay, and there's no downside to using that technology directly on brick and mortar, or stone and mortar, I should say.
I mean, the downside is one thing and one thing only. You don't have the mortar exposed anymore. You're sealing the moisture in, if you wish, from the mortar that you need to breathe. But I'm hoping that when you redid the stone wall, the stone foundation, you put an elastomeric membrane from the outside.
They did.
Great. So then you shouldn't be having any more seepage from the mortar, because typically those foundations are very old.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever they put to waterproof them would have degraded with time. And in those days, they used to use a tar. And tar, after 30, 40, 50 years, it starts breaking apart. And that stone foundation does not become impermeable anymore. And then you're going to have some water seeping through. So by you putting urethane in this case from the inside, you would have trapped that moisture between the urethane and the stone.
Understood.
But you don't have that problem anymore. So that would be really your best solution.
Okay, Tony,
perfect.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you very much.
Daisy's been waiting on the line. Daisy has a bubble wrap on her gyprock wall. Daisy, can you hear us?
Yes, thank you.
Hi, take it away.
Good morning. I have a wall, the outside wall of the two bedrooms is made out of slats. You know, it's not gyprock, I think. And it's a 53-year-old house. And then there's a chimney at the end of the corridor separating the two bedrooms. And one side, there are cupboards, there are closets on each side. Now, I closed the chimney on the top because I've got electric heating. Now, that chimney, I never closed it. Like, inside the house, I never took it out. And the wall is very cold. And the two exterior walls of the bedrooms, they're around 10 degrees. So it makes the bedroom very cold. And I had Googled it, and I didn't want to do a major renovation. I'm too old for that. So I saw someone suggested putting the bubble against the wall and the straight side outside. What do you think? Would it create condensation? I'll take it off in the summer, but put it in winter.
So if it will create condensation if your walls are sweating. I mean, bubble wrap, what they're really telling you is install some type of a vapor barrier that you stop the draft. That's not going to give you the bubble wrap. It's not going to give you any R value whatsoever. Okay? My only worry when we have condensation on an exterior wall is mold, which will create condensation in that wall, which will start creating wood rot, which will take you to another problem.
In one of the closet, I didn't realize that till a bit was late. I had the faucet was sticking to the wall, the outside wall in the closet. And one day I opened it, I did see mold.
Exactly.
And I had taken it out and I've cleaned everything. And since then, I've not put anything against the wall and there's no condensation. I heat my house around 20, 21. Like now, I did put it on 21. It's around 1920. Yeah. So there's not much condensation. And I have also 3 dehumidifiers in the house to take away my basement. I heat it around 20 to 21 so that I thought the heat will come up and heat the floors of the main level because the floors of the main level is colder.
In the ambient air, your issue is in the wall cavity. And the wall cavity, what's going to happen is that heat that you are emanating from the inside, which is, like you said, you have the inside at 21. The outside today is minus 18. Now, that 21 plus 21 inside is meeting your minus 18 outside, and it's creating the condensation in the cavity. So with time, you're going to start having issues with the structure or the wood in the exterior walls, and then eventually you start seeing it under drywall. That's what we kind of don't like when we have homes that are badly insulated over a long period of time.
Yeah, because I never took out the wall, and the previous owners never even changed the wall to a gyprock wall with insulation.
Yeah.
It's just when the electrician made holes in the wall to put in the wires, I noticed there were slats. And when I paint, I can see the lines of the slats.
Yeah.
These are
plaster on lat.
That's
walls.
Right. That's what it
that's
is.
Correct.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's what you probably mean.
Yes.
One of the things, in a way, it's a good thing you didn't just remove it simply, because usually when we see plaster on red, the first thing we do is we have an asbestos test.
Aha, that's good. I didn't want to have that problem either.
Correct.
Because I've been hearing all you asbestos and all sorts of, I'm not into that. That's why I thought of putting the insulation, you know, those pink stuff that you put on the wall just for the winter and then take it off. But then I thought there would be condensation between the wall and the pink thing. So, and then I saw this bubble thing. I thought, oh, that might be a good idea just to keep the heat in instead of letting the cold walls kind of cool down the house.
I mean, if you absolutely want to try it out and see if there's any condensation, you can put it as a test and keep on checking behind to see if the walls are sweating. The logic tells us you will have condensation because that's really what's going to happen. But
yes,
you can try it and, see for
yourself.
You mean
the dehumidifier won't help the condensation?
No. It's really the cavity which sandwiched between the two products. So that's a problem. Okay. There's no air circulation that can get through.
Okay, Daisy.
You've answered my question.
Thank you for that call.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. 514-790-0800. Your best way to reach Walter Assey, president of Renovco. This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Your chance to ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, all of your home improvement, construction, renovations, you name it. Questions, 514-790-0800, the best way to reach us by phone or by text. Better yet is to get on the line with Walter himself. Jerry has been waiting patiently on the line, and Jerry has a problem with some blown insulation. Jerry, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Take it away.
Thank you very much. I was just wondering if I could put blown cellulose insulation on top of previous insulation. That insulation was from a prefab house back in 1998, And I find that it's getting very warm inside now, and it's probably probably I have to add some insulation. I was wondering if I can put insulation on top of the old insulation.
So, yeah, the quick answer is you can. The only thing that I would caution from when you're doing that is just ensure that you're not blocking any soffits in the process. So what you, a good technician would identify the tight angles on your roof. You know, every roof have, if you want, a weak spot where too much insulation might block a soffit just because the way the roof was built. And that's where the most common mistakes occur, and that's where we run into problems. So look at your roof line, because, I mean, today's code is R50. And typically, if you're in the 90s, you probably would have had R30, right? So you are adding a significant amount of thickness to your attic. Just ensure that the roof was designed to accommodate that much more insulation. So typically you'll find that in the middle you're not going to have an issue, but where you run into problems is where the soffit meet your roof, right? So in this case, you might have to opt out of adding any insulation or add less insulation in those areas in order not to block your soffits. And ensure that you have stereo vents installed while you're doing that, because even if it's not an issue now, you have to understand a well-ventilated attic is subject to winds. And winds will move the blown-in insulation around. So stereo vents will just ensure that when this insulation is being moved around, it's not ending up eventually in your soffit and blocking your soffit and causing way more problems than you really like to care for.
Thank you very much, Walter. I understand completely, and I will do my best to make sure that no insulation goes in the soffit. Thank you very much, and have a good day.
You too. Bye. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that, Jerry. Here, Joanne, can you please ask Walter, do we have termites in Quebec, and should we worry?
I don't know. We don't have termites. We have other problems, but...
we have lots of problems. Where do we begin? But yeah. Bug-wise, termites-wise.
Yeah, no, I have not. I mean, we've seen carpenter ants. We've seen mold, which, you know, these are things that can...
Carpenter ants, yeah.
Yeah, carpenter ants can you know, because that's where they make their home, right? So that usually is attracted by humidity. So, I mean... the humidity areas or the water infiltration area, when the wood gets wet, causes other problems that will cause some type of rot to the wood structures.
Okay, we have time, I think, for one last call. Debbie is on the line. Debbie, can you hear us? No, Debbie's not on the line. Is there another call? Jimmy's saying yes or no. Okay, but just back then to the carpenter ant situation, what are we looking for again when we have these types of bugs?
So you're looking for the source of humidity. So carpenter ants would like to feed into wood that is wet.
So by the time you see the actual bug, it's too late?
Yes. In a way, yes. And there is a common mistake that occurs that we call an exterminator, and they will just band-aid the problem by getting rid of the carpenter ants you're seeing in the house.
Which is the symptom.
Correct. So you need to go to the root cause and solve it. And that is usually it's wet wood in the exterior structure or sometimes even in the interior structure. And that's important because they reproduce. And if you have a colony, you'll be flabbergasted to see the amount of ants that you will find.
But what about damage-wise? Can the damage be significant?
They eat up your structure. I mean, literally, I've been into jobs where you have support beams that are like, you know.
But wouldn't you notice it before they destroyed everything? No, because it's in the walls,
In the walls. It's in the cavity. You know, it's so much so that in certain cases, some of these lines that had a lot of ants, because if you're sleeping at night and it's quiet, you can literally almost hear them eating your wood in the
worst nightmare.
So it is impressive. I've seen it firsthand multiple times, and they can really wreak havoc to your home.
Okay, so now that you've given me nightmares, thank you for that. Let's remind everybody that does it for this weekend's edition of Weekends. Weekends is my show. This is your show. This is the Home Improvement Show. We want to remind everyone that if you are from another market and you weren't able to get your call in, Walter, what is the solution?
It's askwalter@renofco.com.
Yes.
A button just for them.
First of all, the button's quite big. And you can see Walter's face on there. You can finally see what Walter looks like. And you click on that, and then we will try to get to all of your questions, because we do understand the show is doing well. We're really proud of it when we're in different markets. But that also means that you're not necessarily getting your calls in. So the button is Ask Walter. That is on the Renofco website. Walter, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. We'll be back next Saturday. That does it for us. We'll be back next week.